Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, as the man said. 2015, first show of 2015. A show, I think, that will do this year justice. We're going to go on a journey today. A journey from the 1860s to present. A journey at the conclusion of which I hope you'll see it my way. It's my advice to you. And what I'm talking about is the age of genetic testing. The age of DNA. The promise that we might someday live forever. The promise that we can turn old people young. The motivations behind it, the realities behind it, the myths behind it. I'm going to center the show around a concept that's been long toasted in genetics, that the vast majority of our DNA is junk. Today's show, in fact, is called Junk DNA, question mark. God does not make junk. And I think it's a perfect example. I think it demonstrates clearly a very stiff divide occurring rapidly in culture today between those who can still respect what all people from all places have called God and this large shadow of science. And I say the shadow of science not to mitigate its power. I say the shadow of science because clearly something is not balanced today. So I want to start with the history of DNA. I want to show you the ups and downs. I want to show you what I think is the intelligence, and I want to implore you to see what the myths are because they affect you today. 1860 or so, picture number three. If you're new to the show, get to my website. As Rob kindly pointed out, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's. If you're driving, when you can, get to the website. Picture number three, Gregor Mendel, European. Mendel was a monk. He was the first person to start to play around with genetics, and he did this by growing pea plants. And based on his findings, we began, in a more formal sense, we always knew this, of course. Fathers looked like sons, sons looked like fathers, so on and so forth. But Mendel was the first guy to start to codify it, to measure it. And this in a very, very, actually the ache and pain of studying genetics in college is when you start out, you're multiplying fruit flies in labs and trying to demonstrate to yourself Mendelian principles. But Mendel started it. Jump to less than 100 years later. Picture number five, Watson and Crick. Now, Watson was only in his 20s. These guys were at Oxford or Cambridge. I don't remember which. 1950s. Discovered that DNA, that its molecular structure was that of the double helix. That was a big one. Perhaps more far-reaching in its implications than any discovery in the history of mankind. You've got the theory of relativity, and you've got the whole DNA double helix thing. As far as when you get up in the morning, put on your clothes, go out into Los Angeles's traffic jams, and ask yourself which one has affected you most intimately, might well be the DNA. Certainly your hospitals your Kaiser Permanentes will be over this decade delivering to you the ramifications of what Mendel started in the 1860s up to the Great Leap in the 1950s with Watson and Crick. And most fundamentally, what they put together is that DNA as a double helical structure. That's a big deal if ultimately you want to manipulate genes. You've got to understand what you're doing, which means, functionally speaking, if you don't understand the structure. So those of you who are not lab-bound and savvy in these ways, well, who cares that we understand that DNA is double helix? Well, the point is, when Angelina Jolie had the double mastectomy last year, and it is last year now, right? When she had the double mastectomy, it was based on genetic testing. It showed that she had the BRCA genes and that she was more highly predisposed. Of course, they left out half the reality of that, but that's not the point of this show. And that based on the testing, she was counseled to do the wise thing. And down there on the bottom, I just had to put that picture in, picture number 20. Take a look, the Angelina effect. Picture number 21. Angelina's brave choice. Shake hands with Watson and Crick, because if you can't understand that DNA is double helical, you really, really can't break things down to the point where you can affect the day-to-day of human life. And certainly Watson and Crick's discovery accelerated what Mendel did in the 1860s. Then Kerry Mullis came along. Take a look. Picture number 12. Take a look at picture number 12. That's Kerry Mullis. Wrote a wonderful book. Great speaker. Love this guy. And Kerry Mullis is responsible for discovering what we call PCR testing. It says the following. That, well, look at picture 11 first so you can understand what PCR testing is, because when an infectious disease, we don't know what's wrong with you. If we test for some virus like Epstein-Barr, if we test for Lyme disease, if we're lost in the vast flurry of potential microbes taking you to the bedside and keeping you there, after we realize the futility of our antibody tests, our IgMs and our IgGs, the futility of our blood tests, of our stool samples, so on and so forth, we look for the genetic excrement of the microbe. Because every living, perhaps semi-living creature in the world, from humans to viruses, have nucleotide pairs. In other words, all things that we're interested in finding descriptions of have sequences of, and if you're looking at this picture, adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. These are the nucleotides. Some of you know this product being by Premier Research Labs called Nucleotide. Because the point of putting that into your body when you're about to get the flu is that when the virus comes in, it infects your DNA, explodes the cell, and produces gazillions of its own baby viruses, all at the expense of your cells. And when your cells try to repair to get you over the flu, you need to make nucleotides, adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. This rate limits your cure. You can't rebuild your cell to counteract the symptom of the virus unless, of course, you flood yourself with nucleotides. Thus, nucleotide was patented in Switzerland as an antidote to the flu. Well, that's what nucleotides are. Now, when we take DNA, its double helical structure, we break it down into its sequences of nucleotides. So look at picture number 10. You're going to see the sequencing of nucleotides. GAT, AAA, TCT, GGT, CTT, ATTT, CC. That's a sequence of nucleotides. Kerry Mullis figured out a way to do this I mean, the mathematics, the computer skills, so on and so forth, required to make this worth are in and of itself highly advanced nature. They figured out how to do this, and we call this PCR testing. This was sent then to the FBI, and the FBI, so on and so forth, figured out then, yes, if they couldn't get fingerprints, but you dropped a cell of your skin, your hair, we could go in and we could study the nucleotide sequences of your hair, which of course was the beginning of forensic testings. We can find skeletons that are 100,000 years old. We can take their bones. We can dig them up, take their bones, and do PCR testing and figure out what diseases they had. So Mulis, Watson and Crick, and Mendel. And Kerry Mulis, I put a quote by him. I just had to fit it in. This is a Renaissance man. He's down in San Diego, or he used to be. There's an AIDS show on HIV I want to get to sooner or later using Michael Duisberg. Up to his time, the world's most eminent virologist out of Berkeley. And Mulis and him teamed up. Mulis forwarded his book called Rethinking HIV. And this is Mulis basically stating or backing up the notion that HIV does not cause AIDS. It may be necessary to produce AIDS, but it's not the cause of it, and that the drugs they've produced, like AZT, are absurd. He's a true genius, Mulis. At any rate, he got the Nobel Prize in chemistry for PCR testing. So we went from Mendel on to Watson and Crick, on to Kerry Mulis, and then the infamous Craig Venter. Now go to picture number 15. Take a look at picture 15. Cracking the code. This was a decade or so ago, where what we did was sequence the human genome. And Ventor then went on to become wonderfully rich, took his companies, bought $60 million, $100 million, I don't know, dollar yacht, spent his time touring the world, sequencing genetically anything he could get his hands on. And wow, such interesting things were discovered. All under the domes of his various companies. Well, his competitors, the scientists who don't know how to make a living, didn't like it. If you go to picture number 17, there's Venter playing God. I mean, he's been attacked for a variety of reasons. I know of him second and third hand. It doesn't appear to be the nicest guy or most trustworthy at times. So perhaps his reputation is somewhat well-deserved, but nonetheless, he advanced our knowledge. And we're sequencing lots of things now. And understanding that when you look at some of the sequences, they're not even human. We don't know where they came from. We're finding parts of our bodies, like the mitochondria. And understanding that the mitochondrion, the powerhouse for adenosine triphosphate in our cells, is not us. Certainly our probiotes in our guts are synergistic bacteria, so we readily admit they're not us. But what we're finding is that us is who we call us, is an amalgam of things that are not really us. And of course, in the case of the probiotes, we understood this long before we had the genes down. But to actually see these things coded out and then to verify it is to know that we are not alone. Our world is getting smaller and much, 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 much larger simultaneously. And this is so much about our DNA and our understanding of it. So you can well understand Newsweek claiming that Venter is playing God. And there's lots of reasons for that.